Today in our gospel passage, we find the woman caught in adultery. She's dragged by force into a public gathering area. She's humiliated by her sin, separated from everyone. There's no one there to protect her, no one there to plead her case, no one there to represent the wounds of her life that possibly led her to this unfortunate act. She's judged and sentenced to death without trial by self-righteous leaders, and she's placed before the King of Kings, the Lord of all purity, the Lord of all holiness. This scripture passage today reads, in many ways, almost like a modern soap opera in which the accused receives blame from the affluent and privileged who escape punishment. It's very interesting to note, you know, where's the man who was involved in this act of adultery? Takes two, last time I checked. Why is it only this woman is brought before Jesus for judgment? What does that say about the culture of the Jews and the religious leaders at the time? What does it say about Jesus? How much of a distinguished force was he that led these religious leaders to go to that extent to try and challenge him? How much of a witness of new things was he, you know, challenging the present structure of things that the religious leaders at the time were willing to do this? See, at the core of this incredible story, you know, is this interesting reality of a sinner who's placed at the feet of Jesus. You know, at the feet of Jesus, where we kind of have two decisions. You know, we can listen to the voice of the world, the voice of the crowd, maybe even the voices of our own heart from the wounds of our life and our sin that drive us to a place of sin. We can listen to that and remain in that place of isolation, or we can look up and see Christ, who's there to redeem us, to heal us, and to help us to turn away from sin so that we can be alive as children of God, in purity, in integrity of heart, in wholeness. You see, at the feet of Jesus, as a follower of Christ, that's where we always have to go to be redeemed. There's no other way. We can't go to the world to find redemption. We can't go to ourselves. We always have to go to the feet of Jesus, where he's waiting to redeem us. So I want to talk very briefly. Let's look at the very different things we see presented to us in the scripture passage today. First, we see the reality of the Pharisees and scribes, how they treat this woman. For the scribes and Pharisees, we see that their intention today is to condemn, to humiliate, and to destroy. Not only the life of this woman, but really to destroy Jesus. They're not really concerned about the sin of adultery. You know, they're not really concerned about what they should be doing, which is protecting the purity of the Jewish people within the town. You know, no, that's not their intention. The scriptures clearly tell us. No, their intention was to trap Jesus by creating a situation where he would have to choose between his message of love and forgiveness and mercy and the Old Testament laws handed down by Moses. Both of which are important, both of which Christ comes to bring fulfillment to. Christ is a God of perfect mercy and perfect justice. He brings the fullness of the law, which is the new covenant that he lives out and shows to his disciples and to the world during his life. This is what the Pharisees and scribes are trying to attack today. And it's interesting, they're exploiting this woman's weakness and her sin to do it. You know, just as this, you know, woman caught in adultery has probably been used multiple times in her life by her previous lovers, the religious leaders are using her in a similar way, exploiting her and her weakness for the sake of their own aims. You know, maybe trying to protect the little kingdom that they had constructed for themselves, you know, through their false teaching and once again holding the law against the people who they were supposed to be protecting and helping mature in faith. Why do I share all this today? This is very important for us to realize because really, in our own life, we oftentimes find ourselves in this same place as the adulterous woman. You know, we're oftentimes taken to a place by the world, by our sin, you know, maybe through our own willingness, we even say yes to it, where we're looking to the world or to others, to anybody but Christ and God to find our identity. We look to the world for affirmation, for the love that only God can give us. And what do we find? We find that the world, you know, the people we give ourselves to, sometimes don't have our greater good in mind. Sometimes they use us. Sometimes we become deeply hurt. Sometimes we're treated as just tools and objects by others, used and then discarded when we're not needed anymore. You know, this is the world we live in. And we have to acknowledge, too, like Jesus does today with the Pharisees, that we're also complicit. Because like the Pharisees, we in our life are also guilty of pointing out the failures of others while ignoring our own sin. We hold the rock in our hand, not being willing to look at our own life, places where we also are deserving punishment and death, because the wages of sin are death. And also to recognize why we do that in our life, like the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, are we doing it to try and climb up the invisible ladder of social status, you know, religious, you know, kind of perfectionism, you know, trying to show that we're good enough by condemning others? There's lots of different reasons that are at the core of our heart why we do these things. Judge others, are unwilling to offer forgiveness, are unwilling to extend a hand of mercy to others in the midst of their weakness, and instead we exploit them. See, this is the voice of the world that is presented to us, the voice that Jesus today is trying to correct through his words. He directly confronts the Pharisees, you know, you who have no sin, you cast the first stone. That's the message of purification that he's speaking into each of our hearts today, especially during this season of Lent. Before you look at the splinter in your neighbor's eye, pull out the beam from your own eye. You must be purified and know my love and mercy before you can truly love others. Jesus is doing this today, confronting the sin of the Pharisees and the scribes, and he's also confronting the sin of the woman, you know, but he's doing it with love, and he's doing it truly knowing her true identity as a daughter of God, even in the midst of her sin, that she's still worthy of love there. And not worthy because she's earned God's love, but just because of the profound mystery of God's love for humanity, that he continuously chooses us in love despite our sin. This is the story of salvation. Decade after decade, him coming to his people and saving them, despite the fact that they keep turning away from him, despite the fact that we continuously turn away from our God. So Christ confronting the sin today with love and redeeming this woman through his mercy, ultimately allowing her to go forth and sin no more. So how do we see this reality with Jesus today? Like I said, you know, he doesn't brush aside the sin. He's a God of justice, so he does desire this woman to not commit adultery again. That's very clear. And especially in our modern culture, we need to realize that our God is a God of justice. He has that in mind. We can't be redeemed if we don't turn away from sin. And so as Jesus looks at this woman, he tells her to stop sinning. He tells her to walk in the light. You know, he doesn't accuse her, he doesn't excuse her sin by referring maybe to her difficult childhood or maybe her abusive husband that drove her to this place of committing adultery. You know, he doesn't even defer to the victimization that's happening, you know. He tells her to take responsibility for her sin, despite having plenty of reasons maybe why she has an excuse. Just like in our life, we come before God so often and say, but I have an excuse for my sin. You know, ways in which I was hurt, ways in which I'm weak, ways in which I can't do it. We all have excuses in our life. Jesus, out of deep abiding love for us, doesn't say, okay, I accept your excuse. You know, I agree with your personal choice. It's not maybe what I would like, but it's okay. No, he says it's a sin, and because I love you, because I want you fully alive, you have to sin no more. So God identifying our actions as sinful. But notice how he does that after he first, what? Shows this woman his mercy. He comes down to her level and first shows her his love, which heals. Because so often we can't turn away from sin, and yet until first we've had an encounter with our God who loves us so much that he gives of his very life to save us. Until we encounter that gift of love, no act of turning away from sin is really going to redeem us, because we're doing it for all the wrong reasons. We, you know, only in that gift of receiving God's love and mercy do we have the courage to truly change our life and let God change it in us. So we see this today in a very powerful way, in the way that Jesus writes on the ground. Why does he do this? We really don't know for sure, but consider the scene that's presented to us today. The woman, you know, she's cast into the public square. She's there. You know, the scriptures tell us she's there in her shame, her eyes probably downcast on the ground, unable to look up at those who are accusing her, defend herself, unable to look up at Christ who's there at her side. You know, this is often the experience we have in our sin. You know, we lay downcast in our shame and are isolated from others and from Jesus. And so knowing this, it's interesting to think, what's Jesus doing here? So he reaches down to write on the ground. You know, he's lowering himself to the level that the woman is at in her shame, and really, practically, where her eyes are gazing. She's gazing down, and he reaches down, you know, writing maybe there on the ground. What is his hope there? Maybe he's hoping that she'll see his hand writing there on the ground at her feet. You know, the hand that ultimately is going to be stretched out on the cross and nailed to the cross to redeem her from her sins and to redeem all sinners from their sins, to redeem us from our sins. You know, the same hand that gives of itself in the sacrifice of the Mass as I raise up the chalice and the holy host, you know, that hand that saves us. You know, his hope, maybe, is this woman seeing his hand there writing on the ground, maybe she'll follow his hand up to his face where he's gazing on her with love, with mercy, where he's waiting for her to be received there in her brokenness and shame, inviting her to see in his gaze of love a reason for hope despite her sin and despite her shame. For this is how God heals and redeems us in our sin. He comes down to our level. You know, he becomes incarnate as a man. He seeks us out and invites us to turn away from our sin from a place of relationship. We just have to look at Jesus' life. You know, he walks with the disciples for 3 years. He goes into the house of sinners to eat with them, to call them out of their sin. He does it through relationship. And in that encounter with Jesus, those sinners see the gift of love that allows them to turn away from their sin and say, you know, my life of sin is horrible, and this life of grace, this life of holiness, this life of communion with Jesus, my Savior, is better, and I desire it. Jesus, help me to change my life, to turn away from this addiction, to receive your healing in the wounds of my life that have led me to this sin, and to, in your gaze of love, encounter the reason for my hope, the reason for life, the reason to go forth and be a testimony of love in the world, the reason to have hope in a world cast over with darkness and injustice, a world that just wants to accuse us in our sin, condemn us, and destroy us. Dear brothers and sisters, in this encounter with Jesus that the woman experiences today, in our own encounter with Jesus, we have the grace to be saved from our sins, because we can't do it alone. But when we look at Christ, we find the reason for our hope. We find the strength to turn away from our sin. My dear brothers and sisters, when we gaze on Christ, we not only receive the help to turn away from sin, but we realize the great joy, the great power, the great mystery of redemption that it is to know that we're redeemed sinners. So I invite you today, you know, all of us carry dark places of sin in our life. You know, maybe that sin is not very profound today. Maybe it's in your past life. Sins of of deep secrecy, you know, that you carry. You know, sexual sins like the woman, you know, caught in adultery carries before Jesus today. Jesus' desire is to, yeah, help us to turn away from that sin, to receive his forgiveness, but he's waiting in mercy with that gaze of love to redeem us. So take confidence in that. This is a beautiful moment during Lent and during this Mass to ask for that grace to receive his love, to receive his forgiveness, and then to begin to walk on his path of salvation, ready to receive the great gift of love that is his sacrifice on the cross that allows us to rejoice in hope on the day of his resurrection, which is Easter. We ask for that grace for ourselves, for our families, for the broken places in our world, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.